Turn with me to the book of Psalms, and our text is to be found in Psalm 118. The verse that I'm going to look at is verse 24. That is my text this morning. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Now, this verse is not to be looked independently, but it is to be looked in the immediate context of previous verses. So you could think of our text really, verses 22 to 24, because it is all connected. But really, the text, when I say that I will be focusing my attention and drawing your attention to verse 24. We will look at, and we will also go into the New Testament and see how it is quoted in the context, so to help us. And the subject that I'm going to present to you is the opening words of verse 24. My subject is forwarded. And subject is this. This is the day. This is the day. Well, I thought rather to entitle my message from the words that are already there. And also, you know why I'm emphasizing this. And we will learn more about the Lord's day. Let us hear this verse. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Well, my friends, by way of introduction, I want to say one or two things before we get into our text and I expound the things that are here in His holy word. First, I want to begin by this, that when you think of this children's song, you know, often sung on birthdays, this is the day the Lord has made. We end up singing on times of birthdays. I think that's a cruelty. We shouldn't be using for that. That's not meant to be. We can sing, we can give thanks to God, nothing wrong. But that was not meant to be for birthdays. Because here, we will learn today, the psalmist was looking for some special day. Some special day. He calls it, this is the day the Lord has made. Now, as I say this, I want to tell you something else. I don't know, you may have noticed, but I have picked up as I walk around this area that we know there is a group of people, and I'm not getting across any denomination or group, but I'm just sharing to take heed and just by way of warning. Because this group is known to us as, and we know the people live around, and they're called the Seventh-day Adventist. Now, I see some of them going around door to door, distributing loaves of bread, perhaps given to them from some food store, while they seek to do some kind of charity. At the same time, in a subtle way, and I am not ashamed to mention this, in a very subtle way, they seek to promote the error of their group regarding the Lord's Day. This day, this is the day that the psalmist speaks of. Well, they promote this error that Saturday is the Sabbath day. Therefore, they say we must worship, and this is what they do. They worship on Saturday and not on this day that the psalmist has spoken and the day the Lord has given us. Therefore, today on the Lord's Day, there are many who will be carrying on. They live just like the world. This day is not a special day to them because they think Saturday. So they are very strict, like under the law, legally, still that, going through that, the law of creation. Well, I said this and I shared this, sir, for you to beware. It's sometimes, see, that people believe in error and confusion as they keep to themselves. We pray they will come to know the truth. But what I'm finding recently is that people becoming quite active to go and convince others, pulling them away from the joy of the Lord's Day and encouraging them to forget about the Lord's Day and then just think about Saturday. Well, we must take heed. And this, my message that I'm bringing to you this morning, is not I'm going to all the ins and out, all the arguments, but simply expounding to you this particular text, because this has also to tell us a lot about the Lord's Day. And may God be gracious to us. Well, my 2 points this morning, outlined, if you like, in the form of questions. My 2 points are in the form of questions. So my point number one is question number one. Which day is the Lord's Day? Then the second point is in the question form again. Why has the Lord made this day? Now, answering these two questions, I'm not going to go in great lengthy debate or give you a lengthy case as to the issue of which day, why. We can come to another time and look at that. But really, simply appealing to you to believe in the testimony of the Holy Scriptures. It is faith. It's believing. And faith in the testimony of God's Holy Word. You see, you would have picked up from Luke's account that reading, one of the biggest problem of the early church on the very first resurrection Sunday was that many had forgotten the Holy Scriptures. Many were not believing in the testimony of God's Holy Word. Only few women remembered, and possibly we learn that John, the beloved disciple, believed, thank God, but very few. Well, most of the disciples, the rest of the many disciples, they were not remembering the word of God. They were not believing in the testimony of God. So this is with the burden I'm preaching to you, that may God deliver us. That would not be the case amongst us. One of the problems I find today in the United Kingdom, in this country, and especially around the world as well, but there are that people that they seem to need lot of convincing as to which day. They almost have to, you know, there are people out there promoting their error and confusion. And then the Christian also need to read quite a bit. They need to read certain and certain author in order to be convinced. Well, this psalmist lived 1,000 years before Christ, didn't have many books. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be reading Christian books. We should be encouraged to read, and I do believe in reading, and I've got plenty. But those books are not the first priority. I keep them, leave them alone for time being, because my always concern is the Bible. First, I want to know the testimony of what does the Bible say. And then books can help, and we should. Therefore, you know my stand where I stand. Today, one of the dangers is that people have almost, there are those who believe in other days. They say, I would recommend you to read certain so-and-so author. Well, no matter how great a scholar may be, how famous the name, big name would be, whether he's from America or Europe or India, wherever. I don't care. What I care is the testimony of the Holy Scriptures. And this is where Christ's rebuke was to these disciples. Walking in sadness. You're looking so sad. How sad. 7 miles walk in sadness. 1 mile is enough to walk 7 miles. But as the risen Lord Jesus Christ came along, their hearts began to be warmed. But you know that day how many miles they walked? When their hearts were burned, they realized here was the risen Savior. Met them on the Lord's Day, the very day He's risen from the dead. 7 miles walked turned into 14 miles walk. Did you notice that? 7 miles walked turned into 14 miles walk. How? Because what they did then was to, whatever they're doing, they said, no, we can't keep quiet. They turned around and they went back to Jerusalem. Did you notice that? Very same day. Well, that is because there was the joy, gladness. Well, I must hasten to that. For we need to get into this question number one. Which day is the Lord's day? That's the question number one. Well, there are several interpretations as I was reading few commentators that just on this day, which day? Not many that we have on the psalm here, commentary, but just I picked up few commentaries, looked at which day there. Well, they were saying there are several interpretations. But what, before going to those interpretations, we didn't need that. We know it's so obvious looking at the very context. And I had already made up mind what day is that. And well, those who love the Lord already know where I'm coming from and where I'm heading from. Well, the best interpretation is given to us, which day is in the very text. And it's in the very immediate context. It's so plain. It's so obvious. And I'm going to give you A, B, C. A, please note carefully. This is not a day. Have you noticed in our text? A, I'm giving you A, B, C. A, this is not a day, but the day which the Lord has made. Look at in our text. This is, the psalmist does not say, he did not say, this is a day, or is going to be one of the days. He says, this is the day. It's that day with a definite article. Well, it's the Lord's day. Now, we all know, and I know there's argument given, people who don't believe, who don't take the Lord's day as a special day, they come to you, of course, they quote scripture out of context. They say, oh, surely, my friend, every day is the Lord's day. And I would say, amen to that. Yes, every day is the Lord's day, my friends. There is but there is but. And God's word teaches us there is one special day God has set apart. He has called it, this is the day. That's my subject. This is the day. Maybe you could have words ringing in your mind, in your hearts. Then when you think of the Lord's day, you say, this is the day. Memorize it. This is the day. And you see, this is not a day. Well, I think it was C.S. Spurgeon, yeah, that when he makes a comment, he said that David, well, of course, looking in his context and time, he says, David, that though in his time, occasion and context could be festival time, occasion of the temple, whatever, not Spurgeon is saying that, but when people think of several interpretations, but what Spurgeon is saying that he was looking for better days, so better days to come. That is why we can see historical context there, but we also see, and myself here, is that psalmist here was looking in the eye of faith for better day, the day to come, and that day was going to be the day of the Lord. When we say the day of the Lord, don't confuse when the Bible uses expression, the Lord's day, the day of the Lord. There is a reference to, in the eschatological context, to the second coming when Christ is going to come, the very latter end. You see, there's going to be a day. But here we are looking at the Lord's day with reference to the resurrection of our Savior. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The day wherein He rose from the dead. And also, of course, the day of crucifixion, the resurrection. And also, we don't exclude the reference to the gospel days, the day of gospel. But primarily, I am looking at the Lord's day with reference to the day of His resurrection. That's where the emphasis. A, it's not a day. Now, B, to further shed light for this, that this is a special day, I want you to look at the name of the God who's made it. Because in our text it says, this is the day. The Lord has made. You see here now, the name of God is given to us in the revelation. The revelation is of Jehovah. Now there is a point why I am saying under B that the name is worth noting here, is that that capital word Lord speaks of the Hebrew Jehovah. Jehovah. Now this name has a special meaning to us. It was given in a special context. The revelation was given in the context of redemption. It was the redemption of Israel from Egypt. And that was the best picture of the redemption of God's children from the bondage of sin and Satan. And that bondage wherein Satan kept in bondage sinners for all the centuries. So you see, Jehovah reveals to us this is name as that He is our covenant redeemer God. You see, name is absolutely vital to understand which day. It's not any day. Because you see, when it comes to the argument, and I don't have time to go so much into arguments and giving you all the answers, this is not my intention. And therefore, I don't want to get scattered or to tell you, this is another, because here I'm not here to sort of give you a lengthy case of that. But the testimony of God's holy word, my friends, is so simple, so plain. Because you see, we cannot believe on Saturday. Saturday is not the Lord's day, I say clearly. I have no hesitation to say anyone who believes that Saturday is the day is foolishly in error and confusion. And if anyone gets convinced and follows any Seventh-day Adventist to follow their reason, they will also be a fool. I am not hesitant to say this. Because, you see, God's word is crystal clear. Because a Saturday reminds us of the Sabbath rest from creation. God in relation to us as our creator God. That's where the argument ends. That's where the evidence has to be settled. You see, because that when you think of the Old Testament Sabbath, it was to remind and to teach us rest from our labor's work. God's lay rested from the work of creation. So in relation, His name is not mentioned here as Elohim or just God. Perhaps some could have an argument, yes, but there is this if and but. There are no ifs and buts, my friend. God's word settles the issue. Because the name that was revealed now, Jehovah, is not rest from creation, but here is the rest from the work of redemption. Hebrews 4, I'll come to that. You see, that is why here we are looking at a special day rest. Rest not just from the old order, but under grace in Christ. Under new covenant, Christ, the Son of God. You see, is therefore this name Jehovah is mentioned. Make note, if you are taking notes, make note of this name. Because here we are looking at this day, the Lord's day. This day, the resurrection day, is because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is that He ceased from His work of that redemption. No, he sees that He's finished. He finished. Well, on the Good Friday, they call the phrase Good Friday, when the sixth word, you know, in Greek, there's only one word. With one word, He finished it. It's tetelestai. If you read in Greek, there's only one word. In our English translation, we say, it is finished, or it has been finished, or fulfilled. But He spoke one word, and Greek has tetelestai. That means it is brought to completion. He's finished. He's finished that work of redemption. That was still lacking. All the Old Testament sacrifices could not deal with the guilt of sin. All that, the punishment of sin, not only the guilt, the punishment and the judgment of God and all the wrath of God and the condemnation of the law that was hanging upon us, and that the Son of God was to go and He was to finish it. He did that and it was finished, and we thank God that no longer we are to offer sacrifices. We're not to run around to work for our salvation. We don't run, I want to be saved for my good work, doing some self-righteousness or trying to climb the ladder. Oh, you're even the best of righteousness of man. Bible says it like filthy rags. So therefore, we're to thank God. So this is why the revelation is so important of this name. Redeemer, covenant Redeemer God is accomplished. According to the scripture, Christ was crucified, buried, and rose on the third day. According to the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you read the gospel definition given in a nutshell, is with inverted commas, and the inverted commas are scriptures, the scriptures. Well, my friends, let us be encouraged that we are left in no doubt which day we are looking at. It's this, therefore, that this name is brought to us, and B. And now C, look at the immediate context of our text. Time would not avail me. I have to be conscious of the time that I do not spend more time here. But look at the C, the immediate context, verses 22 to 23. Can you miss the point here? Because you see very plainly that verse 20 says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. You see, the first part of verse speaks of verse 22, the state of humiliation of Christ. When it says the stone which the builders rejected was the reference to the sufferings of the cross, that Jesus Christ as the Messiah would be rejected, humiliated. That's why it's called the state of humiliation. That He would go on the cross in our place. He will be executed. He will die. And He will be nailed to the cross. Hung as condemned. And He stood condemned and guilty in my place, in your place. Those whose eyes are open, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You see, that part speaks of the state of humiliation. But the next line, when it says, has become the chief cornerstone. Well, with humiliation, the psalmist was looking with the eye of faith, the state of exaltation. So you see the two states of Christ there, summed up in verse 22. That there would be the state of, because He humbled Himself, therefore Father has exalted Him. And the state of exaltation of Christ, where did it begin, my friend? If someone were to ask you a question, you are a Christian. Where, at what point, the state of Christ's exaltation begin? What would be your answer? It was at the point of the resurrection. When Christ was resurrected from the dead. At that point, the state of exaltation began. And note very carefully, it's the testimony. I'm not bringing to you scholars or bringing you to the big name that you need to go and be convinced. It's the very context of our text. It's plain. It's the plain truth of God's holy word. We need to say amen to that. Because Satan would seek to throw dust in your eyes. This is why there is so much confusion in our time, in our day, because men are not believing simply the testimony of God's holy scripture. That's why Jesus rebuked to these disciples, how foolish you are, slow to believe. You see, when it says, has become the chief cornerstone. And having said that, the very next phrase is, this was the Lord's doing, His Father It was his will that he would do. It is marvelous in our eyes because Psalmist was looking at the resurrection of the Lord. And the very next time he says, this is the day. Have you seen the connection? How it follows? Well, now I did promise that we will look at the New Testament, how it is when, but I will just mention to you that very briefly, that in the Synoptic Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, you can make note that whenever Jesus spoke about that, you know that he spoke about that parable of the wicked vine dressers or the wicked tenants, that you remember he quoted from this psalm, speaking about how his rejection, humiliation, as well, and you see those chief priests or those some scribe Pharisees, they understood that Jesus was pointing to them. Because there they were the leaders. They rejected him, mocked him. And Jesus then quoted from this psalm, pointing to his sufferings of the cross. You can read in Matthew chapter 21, Mark 12, Luke 20. So they have recorded this. No, but my concern is Peter. Peter's Christian witness in Acts chapter 4. We're going to return with me to in your Bibles. Acts chapter 4. Because we need to also see how this text is quoted in this context. To make further abundant clear for us that in the New Testament, these men of God under the inspiration, they were quoting it in the context of the death and in particular the resurrection of Christ. Acts chapter 4, look at Acts chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. I'm going to Acts chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. Let starting in verse 10. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Look at the word. Whom God raised from the dead. By him, this man stands here before you whole. Now look at how he quoted. Verse 11. Having spoken the resurrection day. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. You see, he's saying which has become the chief cornerstone in the context of the resurrection. This he has become. And then he goes on to say, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one name now under this. Heaven is not the name of the crucified Jesus only, but is the crucified, the buried, and the risen, the resurrected Jesus on this. What an encouragement and amazement. Then you can read, I encourage you, you can make note of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 7. Well, my friends, as I apply this very briefly, the Lord's Day is the resurrection day of Jesus Christ. It is this day. When I said this is the day, it is this day, the very day. Here we meet together as the church, as we gather together. I think many people don't realize. Many Christians even do not realize. They do not see the value of the resurrection. It's this day. He was risen from the dead. Dead. It's the day. Why is the Lord's day? Because it's the Lord's victory day. Victory over sin. Victory over Satan, victory over death, over grave, and the powers of hell. You see, when Christ gave himself to be arrested, you remember when they came to arrest him, he surrendered. They made all the mockery. If for your sake, my sake, the Lord of glory was mocked and condemned. They said, if you are the Messiah, come down, save yourself. All the mockery, jeering. But when Jesus, they came to arrest Jesus, he said, it is your hour. It's the hour of darkness. You see, the hour, he said, it's your hour. That's why he says of your hour of darkness. Because you see, the whole hell was let loose upon him. And you see where the why, when he was on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, he was forsaken in my place, your place, because he was carrying in his body the death, the punishment of our sin, the wages of sin. That is why he had to go through all that. And you see, but when he rose from the dead, it was the day of victory, victorious, triumphed. Therefore, this day for a Christian whose eyes are open must be a very special day to you, my friend. If you wake up Sunday morning and you just don't care, oh, you take as just an ordinary day, just rest of the week. No, no, my friend. You have to stop thinking like that. The laziness has to go out of our minds and hearts. We need to be like those women very early. Well, of course, they were ignorant as well. They didn't know. They were in panic as if they'd stolen Lord. But you see, at least excitement. They were there early. It is this day. And I don't want to give lots of other arguments. I think that's enough to establish my point, because there are lots of other things I can tell you the reason as to why this day. But that should be enough. I think if you want to know, talk to me and we can spend more time. Is that, well, this is my friend, as I say, that is why we need to take the testimony of the Holy Scripture seriously. There was sin of unbelief on the first Resurrection Sunday. This was sheer unbelief in the testimony of the Holy Scriptures. Times have not changed. 2,000 years later, there is a great unbelief today. There is that sheer unbelief where people don't love the Word, where even Christians, they have their Bibles, and Bibles are becoming like a closed book. Books that they just even sometimes they're not even bothered to open when God's Word. You see, if you love the Word, no superstition like, oh, I love the Bible. It's not just a superstition embracing. If you love God's Word, you want to open with great affection. Love is God's holy Word. And you see, that's the testimony we need, my friend. Today, I see, I'm really at times get disappointed, because when there is abundant testimony on any doctrine of faith, whether you speak about doctrine of election, predestination unto election, or the atonement, the Bible is our sufficiency, sufficient testimony. But men's hearts are full of unbelief, rebellion, still rejecting. I don't want to be convinced. Someone telling me which day. I need to turn to the Bible, God's Word, and to say amen to that. I believe. I don't need Mr. So-and-so coming from America, or I need to log Google and to go on what Mr. So-and-so has to say on the Lord's Day. Well, having heard my message, if you still need further evidence, I think you also could be someone who in your heart are stubborn. You are full of unbelief. That should be enough for you. Not what believing what I'm saying, but believing what God has said, spoken, settled. I also would encourage you, suggest that we must use on the Lord's Day, this day, we must begin to be using more as this expression, the Lord's Day. Of course, when you speak to a pagan person, you say, I'm not going to work on the Lord's Day. Well, use it. He must know. We need to be making this habit, instead of saying Sunday worship or Sunday service, we should be, I think we need to be using more and more this phrase, the Lord's Day. Let us make this resolution in a good sense. To be using the Lord's Day. If people don't know, explain to them why you call it the Lord's Day. Why the Bible has called the Lord's Day. Use it. Don't be ashamed. Say, it's my Lord's Day. My Lord's Day. Well, this leads me to, I've only dealt with question number one. And it's now already 12:15. And it's actually, I will still say and go to second question. Why has the Lord made this day? I wanted to spend more time on question number one. It needed more dealing. But question number two, why has the Lord made this day? Self-explanatory. Because the psalmist goes on to say in this text, this is the day the Lord has made. What we will do? Why has he made? Why has he delivered you from the bondage of sin and Satan? Why? Why? Is to be idle? To be lazy? Waste away my time? Stealing God's time? Doing my own pleasure on the Lord's day? No. It says, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Double joy. Rejoice in the heart. I said, are glad on our faces. Our faces shining with gladness. But if I look miserable on the Lord's day, sad. I know there are sadnesses, sorrows, grief. We have to be sad. Sorrow with those who sorrow. Weep with those. But my friend, this day, the Lord has given you not to be sad. Sad and miserable fellow. Because there was so much sadness the day Christ was risen. You see, there were lots of fear. There were fear. I mean, I don't have time to go because I preached on previous years on the Lord's Day, on the Resurrection Sunday. This messages. So therefore, there are available. If you want to see, you can pull out from there. Could be. So therefore, I think I did speak on one what we call Easter Sunday, which I don't prefer. But this message that there's a fear driven away, joy. I remember that. And you see, a woman fearful. Woman in fear, men sad. These men on the road to Emmaus, 7 miles walk, you've got to going to go, looking miserable and sad. Oh, what a day that on the Lord's Day, Christian walk and through parks and after their Sunday lunch, perhaps they're walking, not playing sports or going around, but walking, conversing upon spiritual things, and their faces are joyful, and even the worldling, ungodly people stop and say, why are those so happy people? Why they are so glad? Then they can say, yeah, because it's their Lord's Day. But if you leave the house of God and walk as if you're so sad, say, what's wrong with this fellow? Is this my friend? Sometimes you do hear me keep coming to this joy. No, so I'm not, this is my hobby hall, joyfulness, like as some preacher they make it. But it's linked with, I put it in the right context, it's balanced. The joy of the Lord, the joy of salvation, and it's the joy of the Lord's day. Glad, rejoicing, happy. You see, Christians are to be rejoicing, cheerful. But Christ said, and that's why he's given us this day. The joy and gladness of the Lord here below today. Which is special. There are special blessings attached to it. There are special blessings attached to it, my friends. Make note, when we meet and worship on the Lord's day. You see, that God's word has taught us. They are not blessings of every day. Though we can be blessed, we are blessed. But Jesus himself set the example. After he was risen from the dead, you remember 40 days? Before he was ascended into heaven, every time he appeared to his disciples for 40 days, he appeared to them on Sunday, which is our Sunday, on the Lord's day. There was special blessing. Oh, that we miss out. When we are sloppy, casual in our attitude on the Lord's Day. Take it or leave it. No, my friends. Our long flights have to come to an end. And I'm not being here legalistic. If you need to fly, don't book your long flights on the Lord's Day. If you need to book your holiday, don't book that you have to travel on the Lord's Day. Be in the house of God. It's a day of joy, blessing, double joy. And God's blessings are there. You see, the Lord blessed. Every time he appeared, it was on the Lord's day. 40 days. And look at the last book of the Bible. The book of Revelation, John. John, the beloved disciple, an old man imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos. There he was. This man, they banished him. That was his punishment. They wanted him to suffer as an old man. You put in the middle of the islands with all the sea around you, waves. All he could hear was the sound of the waves of the sea on his own. A lonely man, sad, sorrow perhaps sad. And the risen Lord Jesus Christ appeared. The book of Revelation teaches us was given. The Lord Jesus risen appeared to him on Sunday. It says, I was in spirit on the Lord's day. Isn't that amazing? John, bless. We have the book of Revelation. You see, my friends, if you are a Christian, you don't take seriously the Lord's day. It's time for you to be serious. Be a serious Christian. One who is not taking the Lord's day just an ordinary day or just one of the days. No, that's the world. Worldlings behave like that. But God's children, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they rejoice because especially. And the blessing, the joy God has given us on this day, it's the beginning, my friend. The joy that has begun on this day because what Christ has accomplished for me and for you will never end now. It's going to usher for eternity. Therefore it's a special day. We love this day. We want to meet it. And you must be the one who should prepare your heart Saturday evening. You must be beginning the time. Prepare it. Saturday nights must be preparation nights. You see, when Jews had this Sabbath under the old covenant, before the Sabbath they had preparation day. A day of preparation. Where are your preparation? Where are your hearts? I ask you as well as challenge you today. Well, my friends, you have to answer before God. How you spend your time. The Lord knows. The risen Savior sees your heart. He knows how you behave and how you've been behaving. Oh, it's a day of joy. But if you are a God's child, you love the Lord. You love His day. You would be saying, great, thank God. I am been further reminded that I must carry on in the joy of the Lord. Oh, what an encouragement. There are fearful warnings. For those who reject Christ, as I finish. My friends, there's a fearful warning. Because the stone that is rejected, that's Christ, has become the cornerstone. If you know building, you know the cornerstone is important stone. That determines the building. And that's what keeps the building together. And that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the risen Savior. That's why Christ's people, they're built in the church. They join. They become members, brick by brick, stone by stone. So must be joined. And Christ is risen. Therefore, you must be in the house of the Lord. Joined to a local Bible-believing church where say, I want to be a member in the body of Christ. Because Christ is the chief cornerstone. I want to be built. I don't want to be like a random stone, a brick scattered here and there. Oh, you look at random stone, they don't look nice, ugly. But when a brick is put, brick by brick stone, it's a beautiful building. Well, that's what Christ is, the risen Savior. Matthew Henry said, and I just quote him. It's good to quote sometimes, people. Sometimes, you know, and I do quote. And it's Matthew Henry says, Sabbath days, that means the Lord's days, must be rejoicing days. Please note carefully what he said. Sabbath days must be rejoicing days. And these are to us the days of heaven. You see, rejoicing days, and when we are spending these days, they are, when rejoicing Sundays, rejoicing Lord, they are to us as the days of heaven. See what a good master we serve, having instituted a day for his service, appoints it to be spent in holy joy. As I finish, read Hebrews chapter 4. I just made reference. I don't have time to take into. But there, the writer to the Hebrew gives warning. There is still rest remains. Christ is seized from that work of redemption. He's brought us to the joy of the Sabbath rest, the Lord's day. But there he remains yet. We need to enter. We must strive. We must strive to do so. The narrow gate and the way is narrow. My friends, the gate is narrow, the way is narrow. And there are many who are on the broad way. Worldliness, conforming to the world, attractive world, temptation, sin. You love it, youngsters. Oh, my friends, when you put your faith on the Son of God, say, I don't want to go back to the ugliness and the sin of the world. I want to strive to enter into glory through much suffering. There's glory in waiting. Just as it happened with Christ. His suffering, the cross was followed in glory. You can only be in glory if you have died to sin here. United with Christ in faith and died to sin and live for it. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we humbly bow before you and pray that you would open our eyes, deliver us from sin and the works of sinful flesh, and quicken us to see the joy, the blessing of your day. Forgive our sins where we have been casual, dishonored your day. But from this time onward, we would be those who would live for your only glory, for your honor. And also this day would be always special to us, because we ask it through our Savior's name. Amen.